At all events, the Praetorian troops that were sent by the Emperor Nero under the command of a tribune for the purposes of inquiry, when, among the other wars, he was contemplating an expedition against Ethiopia, brought back word that they had met with nothing but deserts on their route. The Roman arms also had penetrated into these regions in the time of the late Emperor Augustus, under the command of P. Petronius, a man of equestrian rank and prefect of Egypt. That general took the following cities, the only ones we find mentioned there in the following order: Celsis, Primis, Abuncis, Thuris, Cambusis, Attava, and Stadasis, where the river Nile, as it thunders down the precipices, has quite deprived the inhabitants of the power of hearing. The extreme distance to which he penetrated beyond Syene was 970 miles, but still, it was not the Roman arms that rendered these regions a desert. Ethiopia, in its turn gaining the mastery and then again reduced to servitude, was at last worn out by its continual wars with Egypt, having been a famous and powerful country even at the time of the Trojan War, when Memnon was its king. It is also very evident from the fabulous stories about Andromeda that it ruled over Syria in the time of King Cepheus, and that its sway extended as far as the shores of our sea. There has also been conflicting accounts as to the extent of this country, first by Dalion, who travelled a considerable distance beyond Meroe, and after him by Aristocreon and Basileus, as well as by the younger Simonides, who made a stay of 5 years at Meroe, when he wrote his account of Ethiopia. Demosthenes, however, the commander of the fleets of Philadelphus, without giving any other estimate as to the distance, says that Meroe is 60 days' journey from Syene, while Eratosthenes states that the distance is 625 miles, and Artemidorus 600. All these differences, however, have since been settled, for the persons sent by Nero for the purposes of discovery have reported that the distance from Syene to Meroe is 871 miles, the following being the items. From Syene to Hierosycaminos, they make to be 54 miles. From thence to Tama, 72, to the country of the Evonimite, the first region of Ethiopia, 120. To Aquina, 54, to Petara, 25, and to Turgidus, 106. They state also that the island of Gagaudes lies at an equal distance from Syene and Meroe, and that it is at this place that the bird called the parrot was first seen, while at another island called Articula, the animal known as the Sphingium was first discovered by them, and after passing Turgidus, the Cynecephalus. The distance from thence to Nabata is 80 miles, that little town being the only one of all of them that now survives. From thence to the island of Meroe, the distance is 360 miles. They also state that the grass in the vicinity of Meroe becomes of a greener and fresher colour, and that there is some slight appearance of forests, as also traces of the rhinoceros and elephant. They reported also that the city of Meroe stands at a distance of 70 miles from the first entrance of the island of Meroe, and that close to it is another island, Tadu by name, which forms a harbour facing those who enter the right-hand channel of the river. The buildings in the city, they said, were but few in number, and they stated that a female, whose name was Candace, ruled over the district, that name having passed from queen to queen for many years. They related also that there was a temple of Jupiter Hammon there, held in great veneration, besides smaller shrines erected in honour of him throughout all the country. In addition to these particulars, they were informed that in the days of the Ethiopian domination, the island of Meroe enjoyed great renown, and that, according to tradition, it was in the habit of maintaining 200,000 armed men and 4,000 artisans. The kings of Ethiopia are said, even at the present day, to be 45 in number. The whole of this country has successively had the names of Etheria, Atlantia, and last of all, Ethiopia, from Ethiops, the son of Vulcan. It is not at all surprising that towards the extremity of this region, the men and animals assume a monstrous form, when we consider the changeableness and volubility of fire, the heat of which is the great agent in imparting various forms and shapes in bodies. Indeed, it is reported that in the interior, on the eastern side, there is a people who have no noses, the whole face presenting a plain surface, that others, again, are destitute of an upper lip, and others are without tongues. Others, again, have the mouth grown together, and being destitute of nostrils, breathe through one passage only, imbibing their drink through it by means of the hollow stalk of the oat, which there grows spontaneously and supplies them with its grain for food. Some of these nations have to employ gestures by nodding the head and moving the limbs instead of speech. Others, again, were unacquainted with the use of fire before the time of Ptolemy Lathyrus, king of Egypt. Some writers have also stated that there is a nation of pygmies, which dwells among the marshes in which the river Nile takes its rise. While on the coast of Ethiopia, where we paused, there is a range of mountains of a red colour which have the appearance of being always burning. All the country, after we pass Meroe, is bounded by the Troglodyte and the Red Sea, it being 3 days' journey from Napata to the shores of that sea. Throughout the whole of this district, the rainwater is carefully preserved at several places, while the country that lies between is extremely productive of gold. The parts beyond this are inhabited by the Adabuli, a nation of Ethiopia. And here, over against Meroe, are the Megabari, by some writers called the Adiabari. They occupy the city of Apollo. Some of them, however, are nomads, living on the flesh of elephants. Opposite to them, on the African side, dwell the Macrobi. And then again, beyond the Megabari, there are the Memnones, and the Dabeli, and at a distance of 20 days' journey, the Cretensi. Beyond these are the Doci, and then the Gymnetes, who always go naked. And after them the Andete, the Mothete, and the Ipsidore, who are of a black tint, but stain the body all over with a kind of red earth. On the African side again there are the Medemni, and then a nation of nomads, who live on the milk of the Cynecephalus, and then the Aladi and the Cerbete, which last are said to be 8 cubits in height. Aristarchian informs us that on the Libyan side, at a distance of 5 days' journey from Meroe, is the town of Toles, and then at a further distance of 12 days' journey, Essar, a town founded by the Egyptians who fled from Samothetius. He states also that they dwelt there for a period of 300 years, and that opposite, on the Arabian side, there is a town of theirs called Dauran. The town, however, which he calls Essar, is by Bion called Sape, who says that their name means the strangers, their capital being Sembobitis, situated on an island, and the third place of theirs, Sinat in Arabia. Between the mountains and the river Nile are the Simbari, the Pelugis, and on the mountains themselves the Asakai, who are divided into numerous peoples. They are said to be distant 5 days' journey from the sea, and to procure their subsistence by the chase of the elephant. An island in the Nile, which belongs to the Sembarate, is governed by a queen. Beyond it are the Ethiopian Nubai, at a distance of 8 days' journey. Their town is Tanupsis, situated on the Nile. There are the Sasambri also, a people among whom all the quadrupeds are without ears, the very elephants even. On the African side are the Tonabari, the Tonfei, a people who have a dog for their king, and divine from his movements what are his commands. The Aruspi, who have a town at a considerable distance from the Nile, and then the Archisami. Beyond is the region of Surbitum, at which the mountains terminate, and which by some writers is said to contain the maritime Ethiopians, the Nisakathei, and the Nisiti, a word which signifies men with 3 or 4 eyes, not the people who really have that confirmation, but because they are remarkable for the unerring aim of their arrows. On that side of the Nile, which extends along the borders of the Southern Ocean, beyond the Great Syrtes, Dalion says that the people who use rainwater only are called the Sizori, and that the other nations are the Longompori, distant 5 days' journey from the Uzabalki, the Isbeli, the Peruzzi, the Bali, and the Sispi, the rest being deserts, and inhabited by the tribes of fable only. In a more westerly direction are the Nigroi, whose king has only one eye, and that in the forehead, the Agriophagi, who live principally on the flesh of panthers and lions, the Pamphagi, who will eat anything, the Anthropophagi, who live on human flesh, the Cynomolgi, a people with the heads of dogs, and Artabiditae, who have 4 feet and wander about after the manner of wild beasts. And after them, the Hesperae and the Perorsi, whom we have already spoken of as dwelling on the confines of Mauritania. Some tribes, too, of the Ethiopians subsist on nothing but locusts, which are smoke-dried and salted as their provision for the year. These people do not live long beyond their 40th year. Agrippa was of the opinion that the length of the whole country of the Ethiopians, including the Red Sea, was 2,170 miles, and its breadth, including Upper Egypt, 1,297. Some authors again have made the following divisions of its length: from Meroe to Surbiton, 11 days' sail, from Surbiton to the Debeli, 15 days, and from them to the Ethiopian Ocean, just 6 days' journey. It is agreed by most authors that the distance altogether from the ocean to Meroe is 625 miles, and from Meroe to Syene, that which we have already mentioned. Ethiopia lies from southeast to southwest. Situated as it is in a southern hemisphere, forests of ebony are to be seen of the brightest verdure, and in the midst of these regions there is a mountain of immense height which overhangs the sea and emits a perpetual flame. By the Greeks this mountain is called Theon Okoma, and at a distance of 4 days' sail from it is a promontory known as Hesperus upon the confines of Africa. The sources of the Nile are unascertained, and travelling as it does for an immense distance through deserts and burning sands, it is only known to us by common report, having neither experienced the vicissitudes of warfare nor been visited by those arms which have so effectually explored all other regions. It rises, so far indeed as King Juba was enabled to ascertain, in a mountain of Lower Mauritania, not far from the ocean, immediately after which it forms a lake of standing water, which bears the name of Nelides. Giving birth in its course to dense forests of trees, it travels through the middle of Ethiopia under the name of Astapus, a word which signifies in the language of the nations who dwell in these regions, water issuing from the shades below. Proceeding onwards, it divides innumerable islands in its course, and some of them of such vast magnitude that, although its tides run with the greatest rapidity, it is not less than 5 days in passing them. It does not obtain the name Nile until its waters have again met and are united in a single stream, and even then, for some miles both above and below the point of confluence, it has the name of Sirius.